Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Hercules and the Space Gods, we begin a new line of inquiry called UFO Entity Encounters. And we're starting this new adventure with the one and only Tina Chandler. Greetings, Tina. How are you? It's been a very long time since we last spoke.
It has. It's been way too long. I'm glad to hear from you again, though.
Yeah, me too. We've known each other since the paperback exchanges of long ago. Do they still even exist? Or?
Not as much anymore. And it's sad because, you know, we really should have more of these type of exchanges.
I know. Maybe we'll work on bringing it back.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Now, for folks who don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, where do I begin here? I am currently studying archaeology right now.
Awesome.
And anthropology. I have been in roller derby. I had to leave because of COVID, but hopefully I will be back soon to that wonderful and chaotic activity. Raising two very interesting young men right now in my life, my 14, my 13-year-old, and just very interested in this particular type of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Had a few things that happened growing up, and my dad was in the Air Force, and he saw a few things, and here we are.
Okay. And I'm glad you're getting back into roller derby. I think you're the only roller derby queen that I know. But that is an incredibly awesome thing to be.
Well, I don't know why. They have a great team up there in New Jersey and a couple in New York.
That's true. But I know you personally. I don't know anybody else personally who does.
Okay.
Now, you said that your UFO entity encounter started when you were little. Can you talk about those a little bit?
Yes. Well, this was when Fort Myers was still kind of more or less a rural area. We did live in the same pathway as the local national airport here in Fort Myers. So I used to be able to watch, you know, planes, you know, kind of almost going over the house. There were several times when I saw these lights, formations of lights, almost like the Tic Tac event. You know, you could see the event that happened not too long ago with the Nimitz, that you could see almost these like vehicles or particular craft, that's the only way I can think of saying them, were almost following the plane, using them as a way to kind of hide themselves more. But I talked to my dad about that one time. I said, you know, what kind of planes are those? And he kind of turned white, and he's like, those aren't planes. He says, whatever you see, don't ever doubt yourself. And also, there were a few times when I was growing up. I remember one night, it was kind of like right now, it's about real hot night. So I remember it was summer. Windows and doors were wide open and everything, and there was this, I remember hearing something in the backyard. It was almost like in the field across the way.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a glow about half a mile away. But then when I looked up, there was something peeking in my window, and it looked like a gray.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you what it looked like.
It looked like a gray. And for those that don't know, a gray is the classic entity that you've seen, like books for communion, or it's typically described by people that have had these kind of encounters. It wasn't that big. I mean, we lived on a house that had silt. So we were good about maybe the bottom floor was about 6 feet off the ground, and then up to the window was another at least 3-4 feet. And I just remember this thing, this creature, entity. That's, you know, maybe that's better polite to say entity, was just looking over and just kind of looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at the time I was really scared. I kind of buried my head in there and under the pillow and everything, and just was shivering. And the next thing I knew, it just felt like there was this mist in through the room. And it was morning, and my mom wanted to know why I was out on the couch in the front room. I don't sleepwalk. I've never sleptwalked in my life. And she said, you slept really well, and that's usually not me either. So she wanted to know if I was okay. So that happened about 2 or 3 times where I would be up at night and I would see the glow in a mile or so away and these creatures coming in through the yard. They wouldn't go up to our main road because we lived about a quarter mile off the main road, but they wouldn't go all the way there. They would just be, I don't know what they were doing, if they were using them like for a meeting place or whatever, but they would come and just kind of, I say meander around, but mm-hmm. after that first time, I wasn't afraid of them. And it was usually about 2 or 3. And I'd say it was just I can't even remember how many times it was. It wasn't that many times, but I did see a couple of those. And then the most recent one was about 8 years ago. I was driving back from Fort Lauderdale and just happened to be looking up, and it wasn't a trick of the light or anything, because it looked like some cars were stopping along the side of the road to look at this as well. It looked like in the sky there was like a diamond shaped, like a diamond on its tips. Just sitting up there, just a big black craft, and it was just be sitting there. And then all of a sudden it was there, and all of a sudden, poof, it was gone. And I remember there was a couple of cars pulled over on the side of the road, and people were like, what is that? What was that? Did anybody else see that? You know, this, that, and the other. And driving down Alligator Alley. So get back in the car, and most of us, we got back in the cars and we start driving again. But before I got to, I would say about almost to Naples, mm-hmm. I saw it again. And it was almost in the same spot. And I'm thinking, okay, how could it be almost in the same spot? And again, I didn't stop this time, but I saw people, you know, had pulled off and were trying to take pictures of it. So I don't know if anybody got any pictures of it. There might be some floating around the ET community. So that's just about my particular. I know it's kind of boring. I mean, just
that's exciting. Did they ever try to communicate with you that you remember?
I remember one time I was looking out, and this one, I don't know if it was the one that was peeking in the window before, but it just kind of looked at me, and it didn't communicate me with words, but I could just feel that it wasn't there to hurt us. It wasn't there to hurt anybody. It wasn't there to hurt anything. It was just there, and they would leave. Never any ill intent from them.
Well, I'm glad that you didn't have some of the more unpleasant experiences that some people report. It mm-hmm. seems like they belonged in the woods, too. You spoke about seeing them in the woods, a few of them, not getting too near the road, but passing through where you could see them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they weren't go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say the area that we lived in had about an acre or so of pine trees. So maybe they were using that for cover. I don't know. From what I've read in and things like that, there does seem to be like several types of gray.
Mm-hmm.
So these were the ones that were not in the interest of what other unpleasantness has been experienced by some people, which really breaks my heart when I hear about that. But there was almost like another purpose, but I still wish that I knew.
Do you feel that they were connected to you in some way? Some people report that they feel that they had a connection to the Greys that extended beyond this lifetime. Did you feel anything like that, or?
In a way, it felt like it was natural. I wasn't expecting to see them, but it was kind of natural and kind of, you know, like I would go up to you, hey, how are you doing? Shake your hand and everything. Let's talk. Let's have a cup of coffee or whatever. But something of that nature. And it was during the time that my twin and I were going, at the time in the 70s, and so, you know, they did a lot of studies on twins.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my twin and I were having a lot of studies done on the both of us. You know, how if we communicated to each other, you know, she was in the same room. Do I feel the same way she did? You know, this, that, and the other. And it just felt like that kind of a connection, like a natural, open connection.
Well, I knew about those experiments because I'd read about them, but now I know somebody who was part of those experiments, too. Tina, you're amazing.
Okay. Well, I like to figure things out, you know, about things that's happened in the past and everything. So, but this has been, like, the biggest thing that, you know, because it just seemed like when these occurrences happen, my twin did see them as well, and I wish she was still around so she could tell us a little more about that too, because I know she had a couple of experiences. And
around the same time?
I know.
In the same place?
Yeah,
or?
About the same time, yeah.
Okay.
About the same time, about within the span of 5-6 years. And it just, and then when the area started becoming more grown into, people were building more houses and roads and things like that, it seemed like they didn't come back to that area.
How has it changed your life having had these experiences? Because although people do report experiences like that, not everyone has experiences with entities that purportedly come from UFOs or associated with UFOs. Has it given you a different perspective on life?
It has. It's kind of opened up my mind to that there is something else out there. Like, I don't know if you've been watching, if I may mention this and kind of go off topic a little bit, The Secrets of Skinwalker Ranch. It's being shown on Discovery.
Some people have recommended
have
that to me, in honesty.
Oh, my
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. It's good?
Mm-hmm. It's very good. I think that my experiences have kind of, like I said, opened up my mind to meeting entities beyond what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Has been kind of kept my mind open for tolerance of my fellow human being. I mean, there's so much racism and so much, you know, this, that, and the other in the world. It's all because of how people look, and it's how people act, and it's how people, you know, even down to the color of skin. And I think that in a way, those experiences have kind of opened me to look beyond that person, or look beyond what you're showing me. Okay, what are you inside? Who are you inside?
That's a good thing. And so you had a positive experience with the Greys.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do have a, it's not exactly an experience. There was only one time I can remember that I felt in danger. And again, this was another night when at least one of the beings was on my dad and mom's property. And I just remember watching them. And it's just like they were like curious about everything. And I remember looking out into the distance again to where I saw the glow, and it just felt there was something malevolent out there. Something wasn't right. There was something within this time that was either making sure nothing happened to them or like a guard. And I think being around like that has helped me learn to kind of expand my senses, to be open to what's not there, to trust the gut more.
Now, our second guest for tonight and one of our hosts, and I believe several of our hosts, deliberately tried to contact the aliens. In fact, one of our hosts is holding an event to do this at a particular time. He's asked people to join in on this meditation and try to communicate with the aliens. Have you ever tried to communicate with them, to reach out to them rather than waiting for them to pop up in your life?
I have. Like when I saw the craft out near Alligator Alley, it's just like my mind was asking, are you there? Are you here with us? Trying to sense if I can reach out with a mental hand to touch even like a personal barrier, someone's mind or something's mind, or to, you know, just with an intention of, hi, we're here, we're welcoming you, we want to know more about you. Nothing else to, except for regular meditation, that's about it. But I have tried before.
And what is your gut feeling, since you're trusting your gut, what is your gut feeling about the grays that you've experienced in your life? How do you feel that they fit into your life's puzzle?
How do I feel into my life's puzzle? That they're explorers, that they know the life that has been here and the life that is here now, and they're watching us. They're watching to see how we go on with our lives, how we go about our business during the day. Even, you know, everything seems pretty interesting to them in one way or another. And it could be like right now we look at, like right now, I mean, we look at the 60s, the 50s or whatever. Oh, this was a more simple lifetime. This is how things worked then. It brings out a curiosity. Maybe that curiosity is the same thing, that we are a bit more of a simpler but very fast-growing society, and that they're watching us, but, you know, maybe they're thinking it's almost time to maybe step in and maybe reveal themselves, or they're watching maybe things that have been left here on this world.
Thank you for those insights, because, again, people have, you know, theories, and I wanted to hear what yours is, because you have a unique way of looking at the world, and thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Now, if memory serves, and it's been a long time since we spoke last time,
yeah.
You and your husband are into Star Trek as well.
Yes.
Yes, and that's something that we have in common. Star Trek portrays a future where not only has humanity solved the problems that you listed earlier, you know, with judging each other because of differences, but is also seeking to expand the brotherhood or sisterhood of entities through the Federation. Do you still hold to that Star Trek dream?
Yes, very much so.
Oh,
very much so.
I'm going to try to recruit you into something else I'm doing.
Oh,
not now.
Awesome. Okay. Is it with the Admiral?
It's with the Star Trek folk. It's going to be on Friday. I'm starting, but I'll tell you about it through Facebook Messenger.
Okay.
Now
that'd be cool.
You said it's been 8 years since you had your last conscious experience. Do they come to you in dreams? Because a lot of people experience not only UFO entities, but other entities in liminal states like the hypnagogic and the hypnopompic or in dreams. Have they crossed into those areas also, or just in the physical plane where you could see them with your physical eyes?
Let me think about that. One time, again, this goes back to childhood. I remember having just a brief, I thought it was a dream. And until you said something, maybe I should take a look at that from a different point of view. And that's, I remember almost like being outside in the pine tree area. And I don't remember seeing the gray in the face, but I do remember the hand. The hand put a stone in my hand and just closed my hand around it. And it was almost like it could feel energy from the rock. And then it would take out, pick up and put down different rocks and stones in my hand, and it was almost like I could feel the particular energy of each stone. And today I remember I was playing outside, and I remember being in the pine trees, and there was this handful of stones on the ground near one of the pine trees. And I remember picking them up, and I just felt like I was closing my hand around them. I could feel the energy out of each one of these stones. And that's something I'm still able to do, is read energy in rocks. But, you know, I thought that there was a dream sent by Goddess.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they do teach me something.
A strange synchronicity. I, too, have been able to detect energy in stones since childhood. And, you know, to read them kind of when holding them in my hand. I don't do it as often as I did when I was younger. When I was younger, I was really good at it. And I don't know how I learned that ability, but I seem to have always had it. But it didn't have to be like crystals, like people are into crystals today. It could be like rocks just sitting around. And in a lot of shamanic traditions, stones are considered to be alive, because if you can read energy, they give off energy like living things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's some experiments I've heard from other ET groups and some others that have been reading energies in like places where the ETs have been or whatever, and they can sense and they can actually read now, actually use our technology that we have now to read energy inside these stones that people are sensing. So maybe that's interesting.
What do you think about the ancient alien theory, or the ancient astronaut theory, as it was called before?
I love it. I love ancient alien theory. I do believe there is too much evidence out there that points to ancient entities being on this world hundreds of thousands of years before. And it just surprises me how the archaeological and anthropological communities can just look at this and say, oh, well, no, this didn't happen. Or, oh, it must have been this. It must have been that. It must have been something else. And it's like, dude, it's right there. Pardon the expression, it's carved in stone. I have read so much from, of course, Chariots of the Gods, that whole series. And then Zachariah Sitchin, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. The Annals of Iniki. I mean, it's all so, and it makes so much sense. It really does.
So you studied all this then, and Zachariah Sitchin, I interviewed his niece. His niece is trying to carry on this tradition. She wrote an anthology book, and I reviewed the book and interviewed her a few years back. I'm very fascinated
about
that topic, and I'm going to be bringing back an Ancient Aliens type of show. So if you're well read on that, I will invite you on as a speaker for that particular endeavor.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. That would be awesome.
And since you know so much about UFOs beyond having experienced them directly and learning from your father, I would like to invite you also. We have a sister show to the show called UFO Entity Enigma, where we discuss basically the people's different experiences. We discuss what the different theories are. And, you know, the goal isn't to find the right theory and to prove somebody's theory wrong, because I don't believe we have enough information to really get there, but to listen to all the different perspectives on it, maybe increase our own perspective a little bit as we explore that mystery.
Right. That sounds like a great idea. I mean, the more this, the Freedom of Information Act was extremely helpful in this particular kind of endeavor. The government still is trying to hide too much right now. And it's almost like they're like trying to tell us we're not ready, we're not ready, we're not ready. Maybe the time's come.
I was surprised that they at least admitted that these things are indeed happening, that they know about them and they don't quite know exactly, you know, what they are. They don't find them a threat, although some of the things they do are threatening. And it seems to have something to do with alternate dimensions. So they've admitted all that. So even though they haven't given us more than we already know if we followed that line of inquiry, still it's a lot to be given, that little amount.
Right. That's why I think if you do get a chance, do watch that Secrets of Skinwalker Ranch. It's on Discovery. I mean, you are going to get so much out of it. I mean, the BAS program, everything.
Okay,
everything.
You
are going to have so much to talk about. We're going to have so much to talk about when you...
That is incredibly awesome, and I will certainly follow that up. Now, our second guest hasn't called in yet, so we'll go a little while longer. How can people contact you if you want to be contacted?
My email address is USF. 71832@yahoo.com. Again, for those truckers out there, that is the numbers for the USS Odyssey. That was our Star Trek group that Brian and I were in and founded down here in Fort Myers a long time ago. And also, I'm on Facebook, just Tina Chandler.
And you don't look like your profile picture.
No. No, I don't. I thought about updating it. I'm like, no, I kind of like that one better. So.
Well, since we have a little bit of time, I'll tell you about the Star Trek thing that I'm doing.
Awesome. Okay.
And if you and your husband want to reactivate the Odyssey, this would be a good chance. I'm looking at Greek mythology and popular culture primarily. And,
okay.
Star Trek had the episode with Apollo, whom runs for Adonis, and then they had a graphic novel, a fan-made production. Peter David wrote a couple of books, kind of taking this in like another direction. But we're starting by discussing who runs for Adonis on Friday. And other episodes, like Elan of Troyes, which is, of course, Helen of Troy. And they had the Medusans, who were, of course, based on Medusa, and they had Plato's stepchildren, which was a weird thing based on kind of like Greek philosophy gone psychic. So I want to look at all the elements of Greek mythology in the popular culture, starting with Star Trek and then branching out to other science fiction. And also I want to look at the Star Trek mythos and how it has influenced the UFO phenomenon. Roddenberry did interact with certain UFO groups, and the Federation is based on several federations and confederations that were in the contactee literature. And He was in constant communion also with the group called the Nine, which I believe were the ancient gods in Egypt. There's a lot of documentation that he would go to meetings and so forth. So his Star Trek was based in part on the information that the contactees were giving us. So I want to explore that mythology. It's been gone into, and there's a lot of evidence for it, but as far as I know, nobody's really, really, really put a magnifying glass to it to see how much of our favorite science fiction show is actually contactee literature that we're experiencing indirectly.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful topic. I know Brian will definitely be into that.
Oh, I hope so. How's Brian?
He's doing great. Cardiac rehab has been a little hard for him. His blood pressure keeps dropping with that, but otherwise, he's a miracle.
Good. May it ever remain so, and send him my regards. I'm going to put on a song to find out what happened to our second guest. If you want to hang out, you're welcome to.
Sure.
And let's see what I will put on. Golden Bough.
Of her cries, Lady of Moonlight, Lady of Day. Was to hear
Greetings and welcome back to UFO Entity Encounters. I am Hercules Invictus, and we're waiting for our second guest to call in. She was actually going to be on our next show, but it's Rena Dunsworth, and she's had a lot of experiences with UFOs, and she's been generous enough to offer to share them with us tonight. So while she's calling in, oh, there she is. Hi, Rena. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm glad to hear it. And since this is a new series, I know you've been on the show and you've talked about this a little bit in the past, but since we started...
Yeah, more about abductions in the past, but yeah, I could talk a lot about UFOs.
So before you start, why don't you share a little bit about yourself so that our guests or people who are listening to a show know who you are as a guest.
Okay, let's see. In 2007, I became transgender, you know, after a lifetime of thinking that I was definitely born in the wrong body. I saw my first UFO when I was 5 years old, and I've
wow.
seen, you know, tons and tons of them since then. And let's see. I'm a writer. I've written 7 screenplays, and one of them's going to be made into a movie next year, I think.
Fantastic.
And, I've written some books that are published, and, I'm a little bit older. I'm 68 years old now, and I've been really interested in this since I was a kid, you know. Of course, you know, they try to erase your memory a lot of times, and they did pretty successfully for a lot of years, but even in the years where I forgot about stuff, I still had sightings, you know, with different friends of mine. You know, me and a guy named Lane Riley saw a UFO together in Little League Baseball. We were the only 2 kids in the dugout that saw it, and when we saw it, we both looked at each other and said, "Did you see that?" And we did, and we never talked about it after that, which was really strange, I thought.
That's
a little introduction,
but not uncommon. A lot of people I found with not only UFOs but with other paranormal phenomenon, they'll see the same thing, they'll talk about it for a while, and then the other person decides not to talk about it anymore, and they'll either deny that it ever happened, or remember.
That's my brother. My brother and I saw a lot of different UFOs together, and he even got me to call in one to the police and to a radio station, you know, because it flew right over our house. It flew so low over our house, I probably could have thrown a rock and hit it.
Wow.
And the next day, there was a article in the paper that said hundreds of people see UFOs flying all over the city. Well, the very next day after that, the paper wrote an article that said, no, it wasn't UFOs. It was a plane with a banner flying at night. Well, planes with banners can't do an inverted loop, for one thing. And there wasn't just one of these. There were several. And, you know, tons and tons of people, hundreds of people called in, but probably hundreds more, you know, saw it and never called in.
Now, you said that they erased your memory. Which beings exactly erased your memory? Like, what were the circumstances? Were they grays? Were they another type of alien?
Several different types of aliens. Grays are famous for it. They do it the most. But there's some other aliens. There's these aliens I call friends, my friends from outer space, who are from a star system in the Cassiopeia constellation called Eta Cassiopeia. It's a binary star system. One star is a red star and one star is a golden star. They live in on a planet in the red star system, and they I wouldn't say erase my memory. They suppressed my memory so that I wouldn't remember until I was ready to remember it.
And
whereas
they
the grays, they actually try to erase your memory.
Are the entities from Cassiopeia grays? Are they humanoids? Are they insectoids?
No, they're human. They look. Interestingly enough, they look like Hindu women.
Okay.
They have brown skin and kind of wild eyes. The whites of their eyes are so white, it gives their eyes a wild look. But they're very beautiful, and they wear these long red robes. And they have some in Chile, one of the Chile satellites actually took a picture of one of their giant motherships. And it was on the TV for a while, and then the government, you know, kind of erased it from the TV. But some people got some photos of it, and you can find them on the web if you look for Chilean disc, satellite disc picture. And they told me that was one of their motherships, which is 250 miles wide and can carry 2 million people.
Wow, that's a lot of people. How do they communicate with you? They communicate with you telepathically, in person, through dreams?
When they're out in space, they communicate to me telepathically. But when they're, you know, I've actually seen them on the trains in New York. And they always look right at me, and then I get a telepathic message. And the first thing that they always say is, "We're here for you," which is kind of interesting.
It is interesting. Why are they here for you, Rena?
Well, what they tell me is that a billion years ago, I was a woman on a planet near the galactic center, and we have a device that could look at other planets, you know, and see the people on them and see what was going on them. And I guess they said one of my favorite pastimes I told them in this previous life was to look at other civilizations to see what was going on. Well, I saw their civilization, and they on their civilization, on Eta Cassiopeia, the men had started worshiping this kind of devil kind of guy. And the devil guy was telling them that they had to start treating their women almost like the Taliban treat their women. You know, he told them to make them walk behind them and, do sex anytime they wanted them to. But the women weren't having it. So there was a big split. And the women went off on their own somewhere. And so because of the influence of this evil guy, there was a war. And the men were winning the war. But I saw this, and I asked my father for a ship to go help them. And my father said, "No, it's their karma. You got to let it play out." And so I said, okay. But then I stole a ship, one of his ships, and came and helped them win the war.
Have you written about these things, like in your books or in your screenplays? Have you tried to communicate this information?
A little bit. In my second book called The Story of Josephine, there's a little bit about that, them in that book. But it's not the whole story by any means.
And
I should probably write a book about it someday.
Have you been tasked with anything? A lot of people I know who communicate with celestial beings or extraterrestrial or ultra-dimensional beings have a job to do while they're here. Do you have any job to do while you're here?
Yeah, they took me to Alpha Centauri. When I was 9 years old, I was climbing a tree in my grandparents' yard. You know, my my uncle built this tree house kind of apart, mostly just a form in a tree. It wasn't actually a house. It was just a platform, but we called it the tree house. And I was climbing up there, you know, to get in the tree house, and they beamed me aboard their ship right while I was climbing up that tree. And they took me to Alpha Centauri, and they showed me a world there that refused to get off fossil fuel, and they did so to the point where their polar caps melted, killing all the marine life on their planet. It flooded all the coastal cities, so they had to move inland and rebuild, you know, those who didn't get flooded out. And the air was really poor quality, you know, because of the fossil fuels, the pollution, and everything. And they were slowly dying out. And they wanted me to see firsthand what a refusal to get off fossil fuels can do to a world. And they said what they wanted me to do is get the word out that that it's not okay to be on fossil fuels forever. So
it's
I tried to do that. And I've,
yeah. So that's
I've
a
tried
warning
to do that.
Forward as well.
What's that?
So that's a warning to our world as well.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely concerned about our world because, you know, the oil companies are very powerful. And they don't want they suppress a lot of the free energy research that's going on the planet. And there's been cases that I've heard of that, you know, where they threaten people with their lives and stuff like that, that invented free energy devices and stole their plans, suppressed their research. I just found out about this guy named Victor, I can't remember his last name. He's a Russian scientist who actually figured out anti-gravity. And the way he did that was to study bugs. Well, I've been saying for 30 years that bugs, especially like bees and beetles, are kind of a key to anti-gravity. Scientists say that their wings aren't strong enough to make them fly. So mm-hmm. there must be some other action. Well, this guy figured out that they used anti-gravity to levitate, and then they used the wings to direction themselves is basically what's going on there. And he made a device out of beetle wings that could levitate. And there's actually a YouTube video about it demonstrating its use, which is very interesting. But his work was very suppressed by the Russian government. And, you know, his book was not published. Well, it was published, but the just before it came out, the publisher took out all the really interesting photos of demonstrations that he did and the specs for the thing and stuff like that, you know, so book came out, but it wasn't the book that he wrote.
Now, and you've interacted with female entities that had wild eyes, and you interact with them. Is there any other type of non-human that you interact with?
Well, I've had a lot of bad interactions with the Greys. And I've seen a lot of their ships. I've seen their large triangle ships, and I've been abducted by them. When I was in my 40s, living in Fort Collins, Colorado, which is in the northern part of the state, one night I woke up and I was paralyzed, except for my head could move a little bit. And I noticed in my closet door was open, and then this beam of light came down, blue, like a tube of light, and out of it came four tan aliens. I call them the tans, because they're a lot like grays. They're about 4 feet tall, very skinny, very sinewy. Again, their heads aren't as big as the grays, but, you know, they have a large cranium. They have the almond eyes and a little nose and a little mouth, just like the grays. But they're very militaristic. My feeling is that they might be a hybrid race, a cross between grays and reptilians. But I don't have any proof of that. But Barbara Lamb had somebody who wrote, you know, drew them and talked to her, you know, had that come out in one of her hypnotic sessions. And there's been a couple other people that I've run into who have had interactings with the tans, but they're not a well-known race like the grays are. But anyway, they abducted me, took me up into this large triangle ship, and took me away, and they interrogated me for over an hour about something. I don't really remember what it was. But finally, they had this captain who was kind of doing the interrogation, and there was like hundreds of duty stations on the ship. It was a very large ship. And he was kind of like the commander, and he told everybody what to do. And after he finally decided he couldn't get the information he was after from me, he had the four aliens that abducted me take me back to my bed, and they actually dumped me in my bed from about 2 feet off the ground, so I kind of lost my breath when I landed. But something strange happened when they dropped me on my bed. Suddenly I could see through the ceiling, and I could see, you know, like I lived in a two-story apartment complex. Mm-hmm. And I could see through the ceiling of my apartment and through the ceiling of the next apartment, right through the roof, and I could see the ship. And I could even see into the ship and see the commander waiting for the four aliens to come back. And when they came back, the ship zoomed off at a really fast speed. It was a large triangle ship. Almost kind of reminded me of the destroyers in Star Wars, except it was black. And along the long edge of the triangle, the edges were curled up almost like wings. Well, the next day was Christmas Eve, and I hadn't bought a present for my niece yet. Mm-hmm. So I went to this model store because she liked models. And there in the model store was a model of the same ship that I had seen the night before with the thing on it saying that this was one of two ships that crashed at Roswell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
so that was kind of a confirmation for me.
We're going to have to continue your accounts on another show. We're running out of time for tonight. Thank you for coming on last minute. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're most welcome.
I look forward to having you back on. Our previous guest, Tina Chandler, had neutral and good experiences with grays, and you seem to have had not so neutral or good experiences with grays. So when we do our next UFO entity enigma on the grays, I'm going to invite both of you to relate the different types of experiences that you've had with these very familiar to us now entities.
That sounds good. I've heard of a lot of people that have had good experiences. Mine just weren't that way, that's all.
How can people contact you, Rena?
Just through my email, which is Rena Dunsworth, R-E-N-A-D-U-N-S-W-O-R-T-H, @gmail.com. and it's all lowercase. And I would love to hear from people, especially those who have experienced some strange things themselves. But ask any questions you want, you know, that didn't have time to get to, and I would love to hear from people.
Fantastic. And you mentioned Star Wars. Do you also like other science fiction shows like Star Trek or Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, yeah, I like Star Trek. One of my all-time favorite movies, which I just saw again recently, is Forbidden Planet.
I remember that.
Oh, I love that movie. I love stuff like that. I kind of wish they would remake that movie. But, yeah, you know, I like all the Marvel stuff, like Guardians of the Galaxy and
like,
stuff like that. And,
well,
I'm a big science fiction nut. Yeah, I love them all.
We're going to be having a lot more science fiction-themed shows, and also I have a Star Trek project I'm working on, so I'll let you know more about that on Personal Messenger, and we'll take it from there. Again, Rena, thank you so very much, and Tina, you're still here. Thank you so very much. This was an awesome start to this new adventure, UFO Entity Encounters, and this will definitely be a continuing program on our calendar. And thanks to all our guests, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, as I know some of you are, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.